Thankful for the sweet prayer, the good song service, and seeing each of you tonight. It's been a blessing already. We just count it a great privilege to gather with the Lord's people. Day in His courts, the scripture says, is better than 1,000. And I do believe as we gather here tonight, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in His name, we're here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We're gathered in the courts of the Lord, and we come before His presence with singing. And we speak of His name and the power of His of the mighty God that we serve. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me tonight, I'd like to read to you from a passage of Scripture that's been on my mind today and continues to be there. That is in the book of Colossians. I'd like to read in your hearing the 3rd chapter of the book of Colossians. We'll probably read probably all 25 verses of this 3rd chapter, Colossians 3, beginning at verse 1. This is the writings of the Apostle Paul as he writes in the 1st chapter, in the 1st verse. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. So we see that the instruction is to God's children, to the saints. And the saints are those that have been set apart by Almighty God, called to be saints, those of God's elect family, those of God's children. Tonight, as we gather here at Happy Creek, I speak to the saints which are here at Happy Creek. And I know that sometimes causes us to kind of cringe a little bit to hear ourselves being called saints. But I want you to understand from the scripture that if you're a little child of God, if you belong to the Lord, if you're His child, you're one who's called to be a saint, one who's set apart by Almighty God as a little child of God who's called out of this world's darkness into His marvelous light that you might show forth the praises of Him who has done that for you. And we speak to you as the saints that have gathered here tonight. And he writes then in the 3rd chapter to them, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of Him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. For he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. We're very thankful for the writings of the Apostle Paul unto these saints, which have not only been given to them, but has been given to us tonight, and are just as relevant for us tonight as they were to these first century saints to whom it was written. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know tonight? That we have the Word of God to guide us and direct us in this old world. And to direct us in a time that seems so different from the times we've gone through in the past. But God's Word is just as much true today as it's ever been. And if this world stands for another 1,000 or 10,000 years, God's Word will be just as true. In the Old Testament it says, His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I know the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But I also know His written Word, that which God has left on record for us, lightens up our life and our path in this world. And don't we, in this old dark world tonight, need some light to guide us and direct us on how we're to live and how we're to act and behave, how we're to even think. And that's what I find so important about God's little children attending the house of God. We know the Bible says for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We know we're told to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And if that had not, if there was no reason for doing that, that would be reason enough. Just simply that that's what the Lord has told us to do. But we also know that when we come like we have here tonight, we come for the purpose of praising God and worshiping God and thanking God for all that He's done for us. And in the process of that, the Lord teaches us. We hear about Him, we learn about Him, we get to know more about Him, and we find rest unto our souls as we learn about Him and we take His yoke upon us and learn of Him. He says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And you and I certainly are living in a world. Do you need some rest tonight? I sure need some rest. And I'm not just talking about a natural rest is a wonderful thing. After having sleep apnea for a while and thinking I was sleeping and really wasn't sleeping, I found out later on how much it meant to just get a good night's sleep. I thought I was doing okay. Most of the time I was just taking enough coffee to keep myself awake and keep myself medicated enough and thought I was doing okay, and all of that fired up the ticker and caused the, I think even brought on some of the AFib and some of the other problems, because there was no real replacement for the natural sleep that the body needed, because at that time the body needs some rest. You can't work all the time. You can't keep running all the time. The body has to have some rest. And I'm telling you, even more important that for a little child of God, we need spiritual rest. We're living in this world and we have troubles, we have heartaches, we have problems. And there's no greater battle that you battle in your life than the spiritual battles that you have. There's a warfare that goes on. And you and I need rest from that warfare. We need answers. We have questions that need answers. We have problems that need solutions. We need help in this world. We can't get along in our physical life, even though we think we can. We need a great physician to help us along physically in this world. We surely need a great physician to help us along spiritually in this world. That is, if you're spiritually made and spiritually alive. Not everyone is alive spiritually. There are some who are alive naturally, but they're dead spiritually. The Bible calls them dead in trespasses and in sins. And that's the state that all of us by nature are in and would be in tonight were it not for the grace of God. We would not be concerned about spiritual things. We wouldn't want or need a spiritual physician. We wouldn't understand a spiritual problem.
we'd have no concerns about spiritual things. As a matter of fact, all of them, though they might have been clearly preached to us, or we might read about them written so clearly about in the Word of God, they're all foolishness unto us unless the Lord lightens us up and allows us to see it and to hear it and to know. So tonight, if you've got a spiritual burden, thank the Lord you've got a spiritual burden. Because if you had no spiritual burden, if you had no spiritual concern, if things about heaven didn't bother you, and what happened when you die didn't trouble you, and you didn't have some concerns about am I His even, or am I not, there would really be no evidence there that says you're a little child of God. But if you're a little person tonight who worries about that, who's afraid that I've lived too bad to be good, to ever be good, that I've done too much wrong to ever be right, that I'm so far from God that if I would die tonight, there would be no hope for me, and that heaven is so perfect and so wonderful, a sinner like me would have no hope of being there, and I can't get myself good enough, I can't do it good enough, even when I want to do better, I find myself continually messing up. And if that burden is in your heart tonight, I know it's not easy to bear, I know it's not easy to have, but I'll tell you what, I'm thankful you got it. Because if you are not a little child of grace, if you are not one already touched by the hand of God, you'd not be concerned about any of those questions. You would say to yourself, well, if heaven's there, I know I've been good enough to be there. And if anybody gets there, it'll be me. And if it's not there, I don't really think it's there anyway. I really have in my mind and my thoughts the idea there is no God. Now, you might say, well, it would be a fool that would say there is no God. I said that tonight. The Bible says that tonight. I should certainly heartily endorse what the Bible says. And the Bible says that it is the fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. But I want you to know, I would be that fool, and you would be that fool, and we would continue to be that fool were it not for the grace of Almighty God that has allowed us to know different. Do you know different tonight? I'm not saying tonight you feel like you're okay with Him. You may not feel like you're okay with Him. But you know that He's there. And you know that He's holy and that He's righteous. And you may feel that you're so far from Him, there's no hope for you. I have a message tonight from God's Word to that little brother, to that little sister, not to the righteous, but to the sinners that know they're sinners. There's a message that comes in God's Word to those sinners that He came not to save the righteous, but He came to save sinners. And I want you to know that there's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, whom the Apostle Paul said about himself, who I am chief. Tonight I hope you and I both can say, we can all together say that, I'm the chief. No, Brother Gary, I'm the chief. No, sister, I'm the chief. No, brother, I'm the chief. And you said, no, I don't know about that. I know all the things that all the things that come in my mind that would separate me from God, that's there, things that I've done, that if I could, I'd go back and change them. If I had the power, I'd fix them. I wish I had been different. I wish I had acted different. I wish I hadn't have said that. I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have said those words that I can't get back. I wish I could just ask someone to forgive me and I could be clean and washed from all that. Listen, I've got good news for a little child of grace who feels that and has that burden. And the good news is that you have a Savior in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew everything that you'd ever do, knew all that you've done, all that you can't undo, and He took every one of those sins from you when He died at Calvary, and that was an elect people that He knew in covenant before the foundation of the world, and He loved you so much. If you belong to that number, and you say, well, I don't know whether I belong tonight, I got a question. I got a question. Do you want to belong? do you want and do you desire to be His? I'm telling you, if you have the will and the desire to be His, your will doesn't make it happen, but it's He who gave you the will. You hear me? It isn't your desire and your efforts that caused it. It's the work of Almighty God in you that gave you the will and gives you the ability. And because of that, we have a Savior tonight. When it comes to eternal things, you and I can simply rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and I can't fix it up, but He already has. And I can't preach more than to make it more real. I can only tell you about it and try to make it as plain as I can. When Jesus died on the cross, He had you in mind. When He suffered there on the cross, it was for your sins that He suffered. And the pain and the agony of Calvary, the reason the earth was dark for 3 hours and no one could look upon Him, is the wrath of God was laid off of you and placed upon His darling Son. And there Jesus Christ paid and was our propitiation. He was our appeasement. He paid the wrath of God. He bought us. He paid for us. He said that He was there as our substitute. And when he was on the cross being crucified, He was our substitute. When He died, He was our substitute. When He went to the grave, He was our substitute. And when He came forth from the grave resurrected, He secured our final resurrection. So that tonight I can tell you, one day the Lord's coming and every one of His children, without the loss of one of them, is going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and they're going to be formed and fashioned just like Him. And those who are in the ground, their spirit and soul is with the Lord. He's coming back with that spirit and that soul, and there's going to be a reuniting of the body and the soul and the spirit, and they're going to come forth out of the grave. Not like the zombies that you see in movies, but in the glorified body that Jesus Christ, just as He was glorified, they're made like unto Him, and they'll be fashioned like unto Him. There won't be one eye that's dim. There won't be there. All the teeth are going to be there. All of the eyes, the hearing, the body's going to be made like unto His glorious body. And what a day that's going to be! You and I can sing about it. I want you to sing about it, but I want you to believe it. I want you to believe it tonight. I want you to rest in it tonight. I want you to go home tonight and sleep real good because of it. I want you to get up in the morning and feel like the day's going to be different because of it. I want you to go to work and make work different because of it. I want you to remember that the Lord is in heaven and you have access to Him. He is there for you. He's there all the time and you can talk to Him. And when you feel like you need forgiveness, you can say, God, forgive me. And He's faithful and just to forgive all that come asking. If you ask, He worked in you to make you ask. I'm telling you what, He's the cause. He's the reason. And yet you and I are to work out that which He has worked in. He has worked it in us. You and I are to work it out. And I encourage you with, just as the Apostle Paul says, if ye be then risen with Christ, you seek those things that are above. Which means that's what I want to remember. I get too much wrapped up in this world. How about you? You get too much of this worldliness going on. I get worried about what I'm going to eat. I spend a lot of time thinking about eating. Woke up last night in the middle of the night thinking about I'd eat a donut. Boy, it was really good in my dreams. I don't have any business with a donut even in my dreams. I was chewing away though. I was really enjoying it. Enjoying that donut. Enjoying it. Yeah. Nothing wrong with one donut. Something wrong with a box of them. Nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings of life. Good piece of cake.
Yeah.
Fried chicken. A ham biscuit.
Just thank Him for.
And be thankful for what the Lord's given us. Receive it with thanksgiving. But we get immoderate with things. And we can get so wrapped up in this world. We can get to where we're thinking that life is about what we eat and what we drink and what we put on. Your life is much more than what you eat and what you drink and what you put on. It's much more than your job. It's even much more than your family. It's even much more than all of the natural things that are temporary, that just here for a while and they soon vanish away. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling these brethren at Colossae. As God's little children, you've been brought out of nature's darkness. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ. I ask you, how is it that we ever got risen with Christ? I'm telling you, you didn't have anything to do with that. That was done to you. If you then be risen with Christ, that's the work of regeneration that happens when the dead hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear live. You say, I don't know whether I've ever been quickened or made alive or not. Well, is anything I've said tonight made any sense to you? Have you had any? I've seen it. I've seen it on your face. You can't hide it. When the gospel is preached and you talk about Jesus, God's little children have a response, just like a bug has a response to a light bulb. If you turn it on outside, the bugs come, don't they? If you want to get up, and I'm telling you, God's little children, it shows on their face. Sometimes they cry, sometimes they smile, sometimes they do both. Sometimes they sit there and try to act like it's not there. What he's saying to you is, you quit trying to act like it's not there. You let it be in the forefront of your life. You let it be the most important thing that you do. You remember when I get up in the morning, the most important thing that I have to do. You said, Brother Gary, I got a lot to do in the morning. I got my job that's waiting. I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do other things. Listen, all of those things have their place and you put them in the right order. But above everything else, you put the good Lord Jesus above everything in your life. And you remember, I need Him to be anything I'm going to be. If He doesn't help me, I'm not going to be very good at it, even if I try to do it. Have you found that out already? You know, God's little children will learn that. You can learn it the hard way. You can learn it by thinking, I can handle it myself. I don't really need Him for this. I'll take Him on Sunday, but I'll be all right on Monday on my own. I'll be all right on Tuesday on my own. I'll be all right the rest of the week on my own. But I'm telling you, you need Him and I need Him every day, every hour, every moment. And the Word of God says we have Him. Listen, we have access to Him. Not because we got a hold of Him. Listen, I'm not telling you tonight how to get a hold of Jesus. I'm telling you about a Jesus who's got a hold of you. And because He's holding you, you hug back. You hold on to Him. And you might let loose, but I'm telling you, He'll never let loose of one of His children. He'll never let loose of one of them. He knows them. He knew them in covenant before the foundation of the world. He sent His Son to die for them. Jesus loved them. He died for them. And in time, He works in us which we cannot do. And He's there for you today. He's there for you tonight. As we look to Him, we can leave the throne of grace with peace, saying, Lord, take my life and let it be. Lord, help me be what Thou would have me to be. Teach me. Give me the strength. Give me the ability. And as we do that here in this world, we honor and glorify the Lord. And we find peace and rest and joy in this world. I'm just telling you about how to be happy in the Lord. That doesn't mean you're going to get everything fixed up. Matter of fact, if you walk in this path, you're probably going to have more things go wrong than things go right. I had a little sister one time who joined the church, walked in baptism. She said, I thought once I walked in baptism, everything was going to be better. She said, things have been worse ever since I got baptized. I said, sister, I didn't say it was going to all be easy. And the one little boy today, little fella spoke up and he says, life's not easy, Brother Gary. Mr. Gary, he said, life's not easy. And I said, amen, brother. Life's not easy, not in ourselves. But Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my burden is light, my yoke is easy. I always get that mixed up. One or the other. One's light, one's easy. His yoke and His burden. I'm telling you, we have a Savior that when we look to Him, He is seated on the right hand of the Father. God is in heaven. And we have a connection between heaven and earth. Isn't it good to know you've got a Heavenly Father that's got His eyes on you right now?
Yeah.
And He didn't have His eyes on you because you're good, because you're not good. And you say, well, preacher, that's not very nice to tell me that. It's the truth. It's the truth. You already know it too. You know you're not good.
Good.
Who's good? How many are good? Jesus even said, why callest thou me good? When the young rich ruler looked at him and said, good master. Or the one that came to him and said, good master, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, oh, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. Somebody said, well, is Jesus saying He wasn't good? Oh, no. He's just saying, listen, fella, until you see me as God, if you don't see me as God, don't call me good, because there's no man that's good except the one man, and that is the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And righteousness came to every one of His children, to you, little sister, to you, brother, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the works of that good man, that Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect and crossed every T and dotted every I, fulfilled the law to a jot and to a tittle. And because of what Jesus did for us, He's seated on the right hand of the Father, and He's making intercession for you. So when you have trouble on the job and you face that, you can say, Lord, help me. And God hears your prayer, and He knows, and He answers it, and He already knows the trouble that you have. Somebody say, you mean God would help me on my job? Listen, He helped you. He helped you whether you know it or not.
Gave you the job.
He's the one who gave it to you. And if you don't need it, He'll take it away from you.
Yeah.
And sometimes what we see as the worst and most difficult thing is the best thing. He works His will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And there's none that can stay His hand or say, what doest thou? I don't understand why God and how God moves. I know He moves in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. I know He moves in ways I can't understand. But I've seen Him do some marvelous things. Have you? Oh, I've seen Him. I've seen Him working tonight. Right here in this congregation. If I don't say another word, it's been a good meeting. I feel the presence of the Lord. You know, it sounds silly when you see folks crying. You say, well, that makes me happy when I see them cry. Folks say, you know what? You know why it makes me happy? Because I know someone's speaking to them more than just me. I know someone is speaking that has more power than I have. I know that one is opening ears and opening eyes and allowing them to see the wonderful things that I'm telling you in my life has meant so much. It's been a help to me as I raise my family, as I live my life, to know there was a God who sticketh closer than a brother and a Lord Jesus Christ who'd forgive this old sinner when my mouth run and I said the wrong thing. He would forgive me and there's forgiveness with Him and that I can take up my cross. And when I'm faced with something that feels so great that I can't handle it, I know I can look to the Lord. And He's given us, has He not given us strength to do things above and beyond anything we could ask or think? Is that not real with you tonight? So if that's the case, why should we go anywhere else and trust anyone else? But lean on Jesus. Lean on the everlasting arms. Trust in Him. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. What does that mean? All the good things the Lord gives you. And let me tell you, He daily loads you every day with benefits. Every day. The goodness of the Lord is with you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's following you every day. Now, the thing that Brother David desired over in Psalm 27, the thing he desired in Psalm 27, more than anything else, he said, one thing have I sought after. I want to read the entire Psalm because it just fits so much. Even though I know I've read a whole lot in other, I mean, this may be all I have tonight. I pray the Lord, thank the Lord for that. He said in Psalms 27, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Tonight we recognize the Lord's my light. You're in a dark world, but I'm telling you, if God's your light, what's too dark? Where is it? He's the one who lights us up, is He not? The Lord is my light and He's my salvation. If I'm your salvation, you're in trouble. If you're your salvation, you're in trouble. But I have good news tonight. The Lord is your salvation. And that means you're not in trouble. Hear me? The Lord is your salvation. He loved you enough to die for you. And if He loved you enough to die for you, do you think He's going to take care of you today and tomorrow and the next day? Can you lean on Him? Oh, He's promised He'd never leave you. He'd never forsake you. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He said, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You got a lot of things you're facing tomorrow, the next day. You think, how am I going to have strength to do it? Listen, He's your daily strength. He's your hourly strength. He's your moment by moment strength. When we look to Him, we find all that we need. He's seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. God takes care of His children. Have you seen that? There are many times that enemies have risen up against the children of God. Sometimes when they rise up, we like to take it on ourselves, you know. Especially those of us who have a little brawler in our nature. You know, somebody goes to punch me, the ooch side of me says, hit him. You know, if he's coming at you, I'm going to hit him. Sometimes you go like, I got brawl in me. All you'd have to do is be real. Somebody said, I don't think you have any brawler with you. Some of you know me, I got some brawler in me, and you've seen it. And it's not pretty. And I'm not proud of it. But it's there. In the flesh we get, I don't put up with anything. We like it. But I'm telling you, it's not becoming to a little child of God. And it's the way we walk in weakness. When we think we can handle it, it's the way we walk in weakness. You want to see strength? It's when you leave it in God's hands and let God recompense. You trust God. And God takes care of things so much better than you and I do. You know what we do? We make it worse, don't we? We get into it and we say, I guess I had to say something. But what you said, you go like, I wish I hadn't have said it. And before you get it out of your lips, The Spirit of God has already taught you in your heart. The preacher didn't have to call you. The person next to you didn't have to say it. The Lord Himself has already told you and said, why did you have to say that? Why did you have to respond that way? That Spirit of God that is in you teaches you better. He said, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. He said, though an host should encamp about me, against me, and my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. What that's saying really is that if whatever you have to face in your life, just know this, it's going to be okay because Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. God is still on His throne and He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. And the worst thing that could happen to me is that I would die, which means I get to go home to be with Him forever. That doesn't sound too bad. As a matter of fact, my burdens are over. And so when I'm in the storms of life and in the troubles of life, I don't have to be overwhelmed by them. God's little children can get overwhelmed so quickly when we forget what He has done for us. He said this in verse 3. He said in verse 4, and this is what I was getting to. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Brethren, we need communion with Him each and every day. I need Him every day. It's wonderful to have Him on Sunday. I was thankful we felt Him yesterday at the meeting over at Thumb Run. I was thankful I felt Him this morning over at Summer Duck. I was thankful this afternoon when some few things popped up and it wasn't long that I had slipped. If you ever find yourself, you're standing on the rock and everything seems to be pretty good and you're hanging in there and then the old devil will hit you with something and you'll slip off. And then I was able to be, by the grace of God, He pulled me back up on the rock and I felt the strength that came in that and then able to be here tonight. I was worried to death about whether He'd give me anything to say. And if I don't get to say anything else, I've enjoyed what I've had to say tonight by the grace of God. And to Him be the glory and the honor and the praise, and all things that are good come from Him. Give God the glory for it. But I'm thankful to have a little church where we preach about Jesus Christ and Him crucified being the way and the truth and the life. And there's no room for man to glory. It's all about giving Him the praise and the honor and the glory. And when the brethren say amen, when you preach that, it's a wonderful thing to be here. Yes, it's a beautiful thing to be here. It makes God's little children happy. They don't look happy sometimes, but it makes them happy in their hearts. It makes them happy. They're happy in the Lord. They're resting in Him. And they go at the door saying, no, I can't be different on my own, but God can make me different. I can't be better on my own, but God can make me better. I'm too hard-headed to do this on my own, but God can humble me and He'll bring me down and He will never leave me. He'll never give up on me. He'll never turn away. He's going to continue to be with me until I leave this world. How much should I cling to Him because of how He's got a hold to me? It's good to have that little one hug you back when you hug them, aren't you? But if she didn't hug you back, you'd still hold on, especially if she was in trouble. You'd be holding on to her to keep her safe and secure because she might be wanting to pull away because she's just that way. And she sometimes, well, I don't want to go, but you're going to hold on to her. Isn't it wonderful to know we have a Heavenly Father who will hold on to us when we're even trying to pull away, thinking we're doing the right thing, but absolutely wrong? How many times have I been there? And to know that He'll never leave me. He said this, though. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. And this is what He's teaching over in the third chapter of Colossians. We want to draw as close to Him as we can, as much as we can. We're to put Him first. We're to seek Him above all things. That's what David says here. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, Psalm 27, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You believe you can enjoy the house of the Lord while you live? David said you could. I believe that's what we're enjoying tonight. Feel like I've been in the house of the Lord. Feel like I've been to church. You know, sometimes I'll ride somewhere in the van. And on the way there, we'll talk about the things of the Lord. And I feel like I've been to church. Sometimes you'll be walking on the trail. You'll be walking up the side of a mountain talking about the things of the Lord. And sometimes when we're not doing that, Brother London, he'll say, well, you're not preaching. You need to preach. And so we have a little church going up the mountain as we will go along the way. And sometimes before the meeting, you'll come in and the brethren will be talking about the things of the Lord. Before you had church, you have church. You have fellowship. Sometimes during the week, we'll have a problem come up and we'll be able to talk about the Word of God and sit on a front porch and talk about answers to questions of life's big problems. And you go to the Word of God and you have church right there on the porch where God's little children have gathered together. I'd say it's a special thing when the church gathers together. But I'm telling you, it's not just about this moment and this time. We enjoy His fellowship day in and day out. And we should be doing that. He said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And what's beautiful about the house of the Lord is that you behold the beauty of the Lord. Have you seen tonight the Lord beautiful? Has He shown you His love? Have you seen the love of the Son? Have you seen the love of the Holy Spirit that's come in your heart and let you know about it? And all of that's a work of God's amazing, wonderful grace. We're to give Him the honor and the praise and the glory for every bit of that. He says to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Listen, I need to know how to walk and act and talk and behave, don't you, in this world? And His book lays it out for us. And when we take His word and say, "I'm going to follow it to the very best of my ability," the only ability you have is that which He gives you, but that's ability enough to do what He would have you to do. And though we can't do it on our own, and we're never required to do it to be His, because we are His, He will give us the strength and the ability to live in a way to honor and glorify Him. And when God's little children bring forth fruit, it pleases and honors the Lord. That's why we're given fruit to bring and to bear. It's all about pleasing Him. He goes on, He says, "For in the time of trouble," get this, He says, "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion." Isn't that good? When I get in trouble, I got the Lord to go to. You know what He's going to do? He's going to hide me in His pavilion. You ever felt like you just like to get away and have somebody hide you for a while because I got so many things bothering, I need a place to hide? Can I tell you, there's no place to hide like the pavilion of the Lord. He puts you in the cleft of the rock. He puts you lean on the everlasting arms. He covers you like a hen does its little chicks, and He covers you, and you nestle close to Him. You have the warmth of Him. You have the covering of Him. He takes care of you in this old troubled world. Why would He do that for me? Because He loved you before the very foundation of the world, and He didn't love you because you deserved it. He loved you in spite of everything else you didn't deserve. That's why you can't fall out of His love. You didn't do anything to get in it. He loved you, and He will love you enough to correct you and chasten you along the way. He says, "In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me." This is a secret place. The world can't even see it. The world doesn't even know anything about it. The world doesn't understand it. They'd look at a place like this and say, "What a waste of time." I don't believe it's a waste of time, do you? I feel like it's a place I need. It's a place I hear about Him. I inquire the Lord. He says, "And now shall my head be lifted above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." And then verse 8, He says, "When thou saidst, seek my face," get this, "when the Lord said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." When did the brother say, "I'm going to seek His face"? When the Lord said to him, "Seek my face." Have you sought His face? You know why you sought His face? Because the Lord said, "Seek my face." He gave us that commandment. "Hide not thy face far from me." You feel like that tonight? You ever feel like He's hid His face from you? Sometimes He'll do that to allow us to understand and know how much we need Him. Sometimes we'll cry out and it seems like He's not there, and we'll think, "Has the Lord forgotten me?" Oh no, He's just letting you know how good it is to have Him. And He allows you to see at times what it's like not to have Him, so that you can really appreciate having Him. And I tell you, when you've been in the dark for a while, you really appreciate the light when you're in it. When you've been away from Him and you've been cold, it's wonderful to feel that heart stir. When you wanted to cry and couldn't, it's wonderful to cry. It's wonderful to have the tears and to have that heartfelt that comes from the feeling of the Spirit of Almighty God. And He says, "Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help." Get this. He's been my, can you say that tonight? The Lord's been my help. He's been your help, hasn't he? He said, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. He's the God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. That's a great promise for God's little children. A good mama is not going to forsake her children. A good dad's not going to forsake their children, not knowingly. But I'm telling you, sometimes they can do their very best and they still end up having to forsake them because they're not strong like the Lord. Though they want never to forsake them, they will at sometimes not be able. It's time will let us know that the father and mother at times who used to take care of us, as time goes on, need to be taken care of. And there's a change that happens in that. And they can no longer do what they want to do. They want to help as much as they ever could, but they can't because they don't have the ability. Isn't it good to know that when my mama and my father forsake me, then the Lord's going to take me up? As a matter of fact, if you had a good mama and a good daddy, where did they come from? Where does every good gift and every perfect gift come from? It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And he said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. That's what we should say tonight. Lord, teach me thy way. And lead me in a plain path. Not a high path and a great path, just a simple, Lord, help me walk in a way to honor and glorify thee in a way that's pleasing to thee because of my enemies. He says, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe a cruelty. And then verse 13 and 14, some of my favorite in the whole Bible. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Tonight, you're either going to be fainting or you're going to believe. You're either going to believe or you're going to faint. I need to be believing, don't you? I need to be trusting in Him. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. If there's been any benefit in anything I've said tonight, you give the Lord the honor and the praise and the glory. And I thank the Lord for your kind attention and your prayers. If you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Love you, brother. God bless you.